Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. At the recommendation of attorney and business leader David Kreskoff, we have on the program today a very highly educated gentleman. Our guest today is Dr. Larry Stephen Milner. He is both a medical doctor and an attorney. He is an expert on ancient Israel, Greece, the Old Testament, and Greek philosophy. I'd like to tell a little bit about this gentleman. He lives in both Illinois and Florida, and he's had academic appointments as clinical associate in medicine, University of Illinois Medical School, clinical instructor of medicine, Chicago Medical School, licensed and certified to practice medicine in Illinois, board-certified internal medicine, hematology, oncology, licensed to practice law, Illinois, licensed to practice medicine, Florida, educated in graduating 62, University of Illinois, 66, University of Illinois Medical School, 87, Loyola Law School, and an MLS from Lake Forest College. Our guest today, Dr. Larry Milner. First, I want to talk about the first topic we had to discuss, and this is about infanticide. So let's talk about your thinking about infanticide, if you could explain that to our listeners on the Rusk Report and Dr. Milner.
Well, very nice. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate being able to discuss some of these topics. Obviously, the first one, infanticide, it's a little strange to most people. How did I get interested in something that is such an egregious crime? It came about from a variety of reasons, but let me just say that I wound up publishing a book called Hardness of Heart, Hardness of Life, where I showed that throughout history, probably about 10% of all children ever born were murdered by their parents. This sounds horrible, but what one has to realize is before the advent, and I'm not encouraging the use of abortion, but before safe abortion was available, a lot of parents that did not want children found that there was nothing else they can do when an unwanted baby was born, but unfortunately dispose of it. It became so common in the old days that in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church forbid women to sleep with their children under the age of 1 or 2 years old, because so many of the children were unfortunately smothered while they were sleeping in what became known as overlaying, and the Pope had to put out an edict not allowing it. This, of course, was in publications and books all the time, and my research did not involve my own feeling of this, but actual over 3,000 footnotes in the book showing where this problem became very severe during famines, during wars, stories about how the people that were in countries where the cities were being attacked, rather than be taken captive at Masada in Israel, this was very famous, they committed suicide by having to kill their own children and then themselves. So it became something that we now get abhorred about, and rightfully so, but in days before there were alternatives, that is simply what a lot of parents wound up doing. And I don't condone it, obviously, in any particular way, but we need to understand that this is something, and we still see it today. I mean, there are always unfortunate crimes where parents wind up killing their children, sometimes in a suicide with themselves. But it needed to be brought to the public, and I started a means by which we can publicize it and encourage people in cities to try and do what they can to educate people and prevent this from happening.
Well, let me ask you, you're both an attorney and a physician. Do you look at abortion as infanticide?
While obviously the Right to Life people do label it that way, because I've written a book like this and because I'm both a doctor and a lawyer, I try to not take a personal opinion on whether abortion is right or wrong, is a woman's right or is a killing. I believe that it's good for people to have a discussion. Unfortunately, most of the discussions just turn into arguments. There's a lot of intense emotion involved with that, and it's very hard to talk about abortion in a way that can hopefully someday appease both sides. I only say, and this is just a fact, that if for whatever reason we eliminated abortion, if countries or states decided that they would eliminate abortion, we should be prepared to go back to what humans have done for all time, and that is about 8 to 10% of children born will unfortunately be killed.
We're learning a great deal from a noted physician and attorney. Our guest today is Dr. Larry Stephen Milner of Lincolnshire, Illinois, and Boynton Beach, Florida. Let's talk a little bit about another topic, and that's the close relationship between ancient Greece and the Hebrews. Dr. Milner has said that he believes a group of dissident Hebrews left the Exodus when Moses was killing those who did not obey the Mosaic Code and migrated to Mycenae before the Trojan War and became enmeshed in Greek society. Would you like to discuss this, Dr. Milner?
Well, this is what I'm now mostly involved with, and it's very interesting that this all came about because of my book on infanticide. One of the things that struck me the most while I was writing my book on infanticide is that in all of history, although infanticide was very common, obviously in most countries it was still something that was often seen as a crime. Yet at the same time, in all of the reading I did, there were only two countries that used an infanticide to extol a particular member of their society, and that was the Hebrews and the ancient Greeks. The Hebrews, of course, are famous for the sacrifice of, or attempted sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, showing his love and devotion to God, so much so that he was willing, when asked by God to sacrifice Isaac, to do it. It didn't happen, fortunately, but every Rosh Hashanah in every synagogue across the world, every year, the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham is told in temple, and it is intended to show how intense one should be faithful to God. There is only one other country except the Jews that did the same thing, and this was the ancient Greeks. In the Trojan War, after Helen was taken away by Paris, the Greek god Agamemnon, the Greek general Agamemnon, was preparing to sail away to Troy to fight the Trojan War, and the winds died down. The ships couldn't sail. He was told by a seer that the reason is he did not sacrifice a maiden to the gods so that they would favor his sailing away. He was told that it had to be his own daughter, Iphigenia, that had to be sacrificed, and he went ahead with the sacrifice. Unlike the Hebrews, Iphigenia, unfortunately, was fatally killed, and the winds came up, the Greeks sailed away, and won the Trojan War. Agamemnon was held as a remarkable person for this feat by all except his wife, who wound up killing him when he returned home for slaughtering their daughter. But the Greeks and the Homer in the Trojan War still saw Agamemnon as a renowned leader to be admired for his willingness to sacrifice even his own daughter for the future of the country, for the honor of the country. I found that so incredible that I could not believe there was not a connection. You can't have only two countries in all of history have an infanticide in their practice that is lauded as something of one of their heroes. And when I investigated it, it turned out that the Trojan War took place shortly after the Exodus is believed to have been taken place of the Hebrews out of Egypt. And at the time, I believe that a lot of the Hebrews that were killed during the Exodus for not following the requirements that Moses set forth said that they did not want to be monotheistic. They left the Exodus, traveled to Ugarit in Syria, and went over to Mycenaean Greece before the Trojan War, and they brought the story from the Bible, which was going to be eventually written a few hundred years later. They brought that to Greece, and that's why Greek mythology is so filled, not just with the story of the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, but other stories as well. Many people have written books about similarity between Greek mythology and Old Testament stories. And in my opinion, this was because of the bringing over to Greece by dissident Hebrews that left the Exodus the stories that would eventually become part of the Old Testament.
Our guest today is Dr. Larry Milner. who is a noted author, attorney, and physician. If you're listening in Northern Florida, Buffalo, Washington, Montreal, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. This station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand, so drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, New York State Republican Assembly Leader Brian Kolb, author Ron Zeller, Dr. Brenneman, the head of the Society of Four Arts in Palm Beach, Florida. Coming up, we'll have Chip Nalon regarding helping our troops overseas, Dr. Todd Shatkin, a noted dentist in New York State, and the Consul General of Poland in New York City. Little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Dr. Larry Milner, who is also an attorney. He had postgraduate training, medical internship, University of Illinois, medical residency at University of Illinois Hospital, pharmacology research associate, National Institute of Health in Bethesda, hematology fellowship, Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Our guest today, a very gifted man, extremely well educated, and he is an expert on ancient Israel, Greece, and the Old Testament. Now, we spoke a little bit in ancient history about the sacrifice of a child. What was the significance of sacrificing a daughter or a son during ancient periods?
Throughout history, and of course, that's all going into what is happening today with women trying to promote finally the kind of second-rate service they often had. Throughout history, and especially recently in modern times in both India and China, female infanticide of young infants became a major, major problem. I mean, in China, when they said they had the one baby only rule, I mean, they all wanted sons because it was the son that would carry on the family name and religious practices. And girls were killed. In sacrifices, often the Vestal Virgins, virgins were often preferred for sacrifice. So females were often the ones that were killed. In Jewish history, of course, the reason for the Exodus was that Moses was supposed to have been killed because the Pharaoh asked all the male infants to be killed. And King Herod, when he was afraid that a boy was going to be born that cost him his kingship, he ordered in the slaughter of the innocents that all male children 2 years and younger be killed. But it was the females that bore the brunt of both infanticide and sacrifices for the most part. Obviously, we don't see things like that nowadays, so we don't know what would happen. But one would hope that we're making progress in many of these areas, and we won't have anything like that ever happen again.
Our guest today is Dr. Larry Stephen Milner, recommended by attorney and business leader David Kreskoff. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Toronto, or Georgia, give us a call. Drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN AM 1520 Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little bit more information about Dr. Milner. He was an associate in medicine, Department of Hematology and Oncology, Hospital of University of Pennsylvania. He's also been honored by Alpha Omega Alpha, Phi Kappa Phi Society's member, American Medical Association, American Society of Hematology, fellow American College of Physicians, member, American Society of Clinical Oncology, American Society of Internal Medicine, and was a member of the Illinois Bar Association. Our guest today, Dr. Larry Stephen Milner. We have about 8 minutes left on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Dr. Milner, let's talk a little bit about the influence of the Torah on developing Greek philosophy in the classical age, beginning with Hesiod, who postulated the creation very similar to that in the book of Genesis, and continuing with Thales. Tell us about that, please.
I became very interested, obviously, through all this with Greek philosophy, and I have a separate book just on why I believe Greek philosophy really developed out of the stories from the Torah. It began with Hesiod. Hesiod was a short period of time after Homer, and he wrote the Theogony, where he put forth a theory of creation of the world that was very similar to the Genesis story. It was, the world came out about because of chaos, and the god brought the other gods about because of this chaos. And then all of the writing of the first Greek philosopher Thales thought that the whole world came about with the basic element of water, which again is right out of the Bible. You can go on from there to Pythagoras, who was very close in his theory of religion and life to things that were in the Bible, and the same with Plato and with Aristotle. So much of where I believe they got some of their ideas in Greek philosophy was from circulating documents that began about 1000 BC and carried over to about 500 BC. There were circulating documents that were eventually collated into the Torah, and these were all available to the early Greek philosophers, who I believe got much of their ideas and information from the ancient Hebrew documents. It's of interest that later on, after Alexander took over Palestine, a lot of the Hebrew population became very enamored in Greek philosophy. And so Plato and Aristotle became favorites of many of the Hebrews during that era, and in part, I think, because they had a genetic similarity from the Hebrews that I said, I believe, went over to Greece and helped with the Trojan War.
Again, our guest today is author, physician, and attorney, Dr. Larry Stephen Milner, recommended by Boynton Beach civic leader, Dr. David Kreskoff. Let's talk about the effect of Plato on Jews in the Hellenistic age, fostered by the similarity they saw between his philosophy and the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Let's talk about that, Dr. Larry Stephen Milner, author.
Yeah, that's very interesting. The book I'm writing now goes into that, because the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Bible, became necessary because Alexandria at that time, and where many of the Hebrews live, they didn't speak Hebrew anymore. They during Hellenistic times, they became so involved with the Greek way of life that they spoke Greek. And so it was necessary that the Hebrew Bible be translated into Greek so that they were able to read the Bible. In so doing, a lot of other Greeks also read the Bible. And so there was a lot of intermixture between Greek philosophy and rabbinic thought, and where I believe one of the reasons rabbinic Judaism was able to eventually take hold is that they fought against this and promoted bringing the Hebrew religion back into a form of Judaism that we now have today, which was not present back then. But there's always been a close affinity between the Greeks and the Hebrews.
We have about 2 minutes left on the Rusk Report. I'd like to first thank those. We have some fan mail here from Phillips Lytle, Attorneys at Law, New York State Assemblyman David DiPietro, and the Brotherhood of West New York Water Workers. Thank you for your letters. Let's talk a little bit. We have about a minute and a half left on the Rusk Report about the reason Moses was not allowed to enter the Promised Land. Tell us about that. Author Larry Stephen Milner.
Well, my 800-page book will probably be coming out in about a year that will explain that. But that is one of the mysteries of Judaism for sure. Moses, who led the Exodus, who was called the great teacher, was not allowed to cross over into the Promised Land. God would not let him do it, and the Bible says it's because he hit a rock instead of speaking to it. I don't believe any of that is true. It would be very difficult for me at this point in that short of time to tell you, but I believe that the real reason Moses was not allowed to go into the Promised Land, that there were certain things that he did during the Exodus that I don't believe God told him to do. The Bible says it was all God's orders. I think Moses did certain things that not following God's order, and that was the reason he was not allowed to cross into the Promised Land. But you're all going to have to wait about a year before you can read about it. I apologize, but that topic is going to take a little.
And where will the book be available? Where can people buy this book written by Dr. Larry Stephen Milner?
Well, all of my books are available on Amazon. I would assume when this book gets published, it'll probably be by the same publisher, which is Mazo Publishers in Jerusalem, and also in Florida. But Amazon does carry all the books. I've written about 10 or 12 books now, and if you're interested in any of them, you can find them listed on Amazon.
I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. Again, we thank attorney David Kreskoff for suggesting our guest, noted author, expert on ancient Israel, ancient Greece, and the Old Testament, Dr. Larry Stephen Milner. Again, any thoughts or comments, please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. Thank you for enlightening us, author Dr. Larry Milner. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Thank you very, very much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.